Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 12th August 2021, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 360. Just relax body and mind and maintain some power. Attention. So we are off the light, then we will have our half an hour awareness based meditation. Whatever posture that is stable, you can use it. You can either sit, relax, make sure your backbone is straight, then relax body and mind and maintain awareness. Alternatively, you can lie down on the floor where you are in the most relaxed posture, either your face facing the ceiling or facing up, and your body flat on the cushion or on the meditation, you call it the support where you lie on. It can be a mat or anything. Then for those who not used to the facing up direction, you can also tilt sideways, left or right. It's okay. It's like a posture that the Buddha leaned on to using his right hand as a pillow. Then the left hand is exposed. So that one is called the Parinibbana posture, which is also a sleeping meditation posture. So it's up to you. Or you can just lean against a wall or sit on the chair or couch. It's up to you. If you find it difficult to cross your leg because of age or whatever, you can just sit on the chair. The posture is not important. What is important is you must have a relaxed body and mind. Then our purpose is to train our mind to be aware. That's why it's called the awareness-based meditation, not to think. So whatever posture that is suitable, comfortable, appropriate, use it. There is no hard and fast rule. Then after that, what you need to do is the four support. First support is relax body and mind, completely relax. Then after that, maintain awareness. Just be aware. Silent everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just silent. Maintain awareness. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Let it pass. Then continue to maintain that silence for as long as you can. So there is a third support. Then after that, when you have stabilized it, then you stay there. Wherever the mind is, you just stay there. And the last support is when you are able to feel your heart area, whether it's your heartbeat or the gateway to your nature. You just stay there, maintain awareness, and let the nature do the meditation by itself. Do not interfere with the thought process. Don't try to direct the mind or ask the mundane mind to do anything. If you do that, it becomes thought-based meditation. So I repeat, relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then silence everything and just trust that nature to develop the meditation on itself. With this, I will allow you to meditate on your own. When your awareness nature is already developed, you will know, the form and mind will know, because there will be a shift in consciousness where your consciousness of thinking with the mundane mind still active the create sankhara, that one will be suddenly like no more. Some take longer, some very fast. It depends on your training and your past. Then when you are able to be aware and maintain the awareness, if you are patient enough, sooner or later, you will come to be aware of that silence within. Initially, maybe you come to be aware of the slowing down of the thinking process, the sankhara movement and activity. You can feel it. Then all of a sudden, like no sound, like very quiet, still. Then it's like you experience a shift in consciousness. The consciousness becomes suddenly quiet, because without content, nothing. Like completely silent, just away. Then you will come to know what that true mind is, what that silent mind is, what that nature is. So meditation is to initially realize that, then from there use it to meditate, stabilize the awareness nature so that you are just aware without thought. Only that mind can develop the meditative understanding, the awakening. Only that silent mind can insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics. So the awareness nature is very important. The Buddha taught the Dhamma in this world so that we could take joy in good deeds, practice giving, and uphold precepts. So when we talk about spiritual training, spiritual teachings, these are the three things we must do. First, we must take joy in doing wholesomeness or good deeds. Then cultivate dana parami, is practice offering or giving. Then uphold all precepts to avoid all evil. Of course, finally is to meditate, to realize the truth. So actually there are four things. Then he continued. He thought that we all equally possess intrinsic wisdom, that tranquil, clear, pure, perfect, and wondrous state. So this one is our true nature, our true mind. Then our vows are vast and our minds are spacious. We feel happiness, we feel joy, we feel delight, and there is the majority. Thus we reach a state of upholding precepts, samadhi, and wisdom or panya, and liberated understanding and views. So this one is to have the embodiment of sila, samadhi, and panya, which is basically the Noble Eightfold Path, as taught by Lord Buddha. Okay, we now go into the commentaries. During the Buddha's lifetime, he had many different disciples. One was foremost in wisdom, one was foremost in spiritual power. So these two, they are referring to Sariputta and Moggallana. Venerable Sariputta is foremost in wisdom, the chief disciple. The other chief disciple is Mahamoggallana. He specializes in psychic ability, spiritual power. Then one is eloquent, and so on. In addition to transmitting the Dhamma to his disciple, the Buddha also wanted them to interact with other people and give teachings in the world to carry on the Dhamma lineage of the Buddha's teaching and wisdom. So like I said, the Buddha's lineage, especially Sakyamuni Buddha, is different. It's a unique lineage in the sense that he established the order of the Sangha. Then he used this as the basis for synergy, symbiosis, between the lay people and the renunciate or the spiritual cultivator, which they allow them to enter the order of the monks, or we call it the group that renounce the world and go all out to cultivate the teachings. So he called them the Sangha. The Sangha is a community of cultivators that develop the understanding of the Dhamma or the teaching as taught by the Buddha. And sometimes we call them the monks community. But under the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha has a different meaning. Sangha there represents the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, the Aryan Sangha, not the ordinary Sangha. So this part maybe you need a bit of explanation. Okay, I will read on. Thus the Buddha taught the Dhamma in this world, so that we could take joy in good deeds, cultivating offering or dhanaparami, generosity, and upholding the precepts. He taught that we all equally possess this intrinsic wisdom. The Buddha came to the world to teach us to cultivate the four infinite mind and put the six perfections into practice. As practitioners of the Buddha's way, our hearts must be replete with loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity, and we must manifest the six perfections in all our actions, which means the four Brahma Vihara mind states. These are the mind states of Brahma, who has developed the samadhi, or what they call the jhanas. And they have great loving kindness, because you can approach jhana through metta, loving kindness, when you have a lot of metta. Or you can focus your mind, concentrate, or develop absorption, one-pointedness, and all those things. Then there is this strong joy or altruistic joy. Then there is this compassionate mind state. Because our loving kindness, compassion will grow. Compassion will be the result. Then there is always altruistic joy. Joy in doing all these things. Then the mind is transcending the duality, but it is a conditioned state of mind that is in the state of equanimity, because it's a conditioned mind that doesn't move. And in the Brahma Rai, there are 16 Brahma Rai. They live very long, very, very long. Even the third Brahma Rai, Mahabrahma, live very long. Then there are many other rhymes. There are five rhymes which they call the pure abbot, where Anagami is supposed to stay there and take birth. So these are all the Brahma Rai that has these four Brahma Vihara mind state, which are very beautiful. So you can have them. It's very useful and very handy when you do your work in the existential world or conditional. That's why you must manifest them. Then the sixth perfection is very important too. You must also manifest them in all your actions. The Buddha also used various methods to teach us how we can calm our mind when we encounter a problem, how to bring forth our loving hearts when we see people suffering, and how to uphold the precepts at all times in dealing with people, matter, and things. This Dhamma is always telling us that everyone's inherent wisdom is equal. So this one is referring to our true mind, our true nature within. So that one originally is the unconditioned, unborn. That's why it's already that state of perfection. And without that one, you cannot develop wisdom and understanding. That's why the intrinsic or inherent wisdom is in every living beings. That's why we call it sometimes the Buddha nature. We have that nature. But very few people, when they come into this existential world, can have the chance or condition to realize that nature. Well, most of the time we are being clouded by the mundane mind, the karmically conditioned mundane thinking mind. Then we deludedly grasp to the form of mind, the vehicle and the tool that we are endowed with when we come. So this karmically conditioned form of mind or vehicle and tool for us to come, this one is not the real entity. The real entity is that nature within when you arise. And the difficulty about this understanding and teaching is when living beings are born into this conditioned world, there is what we call the complete condition for my mind where you arise. Then because of this complete condition for my mind, it is subject to karma. So most living beings, when they arise, they don't understand what is going on because they are only familiar with the form of mind. Like as a human being, we have a physical body and a consciousness trapped inside. And that's how we evolve and we go on. And we thought this is what we are. That's where the delusion is. Then we start to develop all the views, opinion, conditioning, and the memory. We accumulate everything. Good or bad, right or wrong, duality, everything. Then we mold ourselves into whatever we are based on your belief system, based on your whatever religious label or ideology. And that's how living beings live their life. So because of that, to realize that true nature within is not easy. Because that one is beyond thought, beyond mind. The mundane thinking mind must cease for you to realize that thing. So it is near to impossible unless you have your good past, cultivation, perfection, and good karmic inheritance, karmic nature. Then also unless you have good affinity with Triple Gem and great beings for them to guide you, to teach you, and to let you have the understanding of what this thing is. Otherwise, it's not easy. Even when I reflected back this very life, it's not easy. If it's not because of my past cultivation and my affinity and my power and all this understanding, there is no way I can be what I am. Even after my nature has gone through the transformation after 1989, when I came to understand what this thing is, I want to share and teach the world. But the world is not ready. And very few people can even understand or be interested in the topic that I understand. That's why after 1989, 15 years later, until 2004, nobody really come. And I just let things be. I didn't do anything. Until 2004, when condition arise, then Yun Chan came. That's why you all should thank Yun Chan for being the pioneer to invite me out to do the sharing. Then, like what I wrote in the website, initially I rejected her request 3 times. But after that, something arise within my nature that tell me it's about time. Your time has come. Then when I inquire, my fear is people who cannot understand, they will create the wrong thought. and get themselves into big trouble with the karmic offense that arise to delusion can be very severe. And out of love and compassion, that's why many here refrain from coming out to share and teach. Then suddenly inside, the message came. You can set condition to avoid all this. That's why I came out with the three conditions before I agreed to come out to share. It's all in the website, you can read about it. So that three condition is very vital. Even until today, I kept to that. That's why I like to call my teaching or sharing. It's a sharing, Dhamma sharing. It's not a one-way traffic, like a teacher with authority to teach you. Then it's no longer sharing. Sharing means no right, no wrong. We share our understanding. I learn from you, you learn from me. Then we respect each other for what we are. Then we make use of whatever that is appropriate, suitable, useful to cultivate, to progress. So all these are very, very beautiful. So no right and no wrong, respecting each other, then making use of whatever that is beneficial, useful to progress along the path of Dhamma and to cultivate is the most beautiful. Then there is no need to argue, try to be right, creating the egoic mind to challenge or to fight. Truth is truth. You can't monopolize truth. Nobody can monopolize truth. Truth is the reality. Whatever that can explain the way things are, that is the truth. So use that as the basis. That's why after that, I find it easy. I don't encounter any problem actually until today. It was indeed a great blessing. So all this just fall into place. Then even the years that I started initially, not easy. Initially, I thought people need the teaching. I tried to teach the teaching, but people hardly can follow or understand. Then I need to reflect, contemplate, how can I develop the ability to share this so that people can have the understanding. So it took a while because of the condition then, the conditioning, the views, the opinion, and the way they learn the teaching and the Dhamma is all almost like completely opposite to what I realized. So all this show clearly to you why it's so difficult for living being to understand that true mind, that true nature. Like Hui Ning say, whatever teaching or whatever meditation that you do, if it's not from that nature, if it depart from that true mind or true nature or that self nature, then you are not teaching the real Dhamma, the true teaching. You are teaching thought-based with marks and all those things. So that's the reason why even this Sutra of Infinite Meaning trying to explain to us that each and every one of us, we have this inherent inner wisdom, the true nature, the Buddha nature. But it's very difficult to realize that, to understand that, and to have the ability to penetrate that, to appreciate what that nature is. That's why all of meditation is to realize that, and from there use it to meditate, to awaken, to transcend, to develop all the perfection, the wisdom, everything. Okay, we will continue with the sharing. So in our spiritual practice, we can all cultivate our mind to reach that tranquil, clear, pure, perfect and wondrous state. So that nature, which is our true nature, is really very still, tranquilo. Well, there is no activity, no mind, no movement, nothing. The uncreated, the unconditioned. That's why it's tranquil, it's clear, it's pure, it's perfect and wondrous nature. But all these are words. How can you appreciate that nature, that state, not until you silence your mind and realize that? Then from there, you start to understand, like what Huining was so amazed after the fifth Patriarch explained to him, the Diamond Sutta, to penetrate that nature. When Huining heard all this and came to realize what that nature is, he just like full of joy and understanding, he told the fifth Patriarch, how amazing is it to know that this nature is itself complete and perfect, doesn't need anything else. And that self nature is so wondrous. And nothing is apart from that self nature. All Dhamma arise from that self nature. So all this understanding, only the enlightened being can understand and awaken to. That is our words that came from the understanding and the realization which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So all this, for the time being, before you awaken, you have to try your very best to develop the understanding. But for those who have realized their true mind, their silent mind, they will understand this very easily, very fast. Because to realize the true mind, your thought must stop. For your thought to stop, there must be no thinking, no sankhara activity. So what is that? That is definitely stillness, tranquility. And there is nothing there to obscure you. That's why there is clarity. And that state is perfect, pure, and wondrous in the sense that everything can be understood from that nature. Not until you realize that it's very difficult for you to have the understanding. That's why cultivation is very important. Putting all this into cultivation and practice and to have the realization is very important. And I read on. In this state, our mind are free of any affliction or defilement. There is nothing to disturb you. There is no duality, nothing, no right, no wrong, no this and no that, no creation, nothing. Everything is just suchness, the way it is. Then our bowels are vast and our mind are spacious. Why spacious? Because this awareness nature is spacious awareness without a center. It is one with the entire existence, the universe. That's why the oneness nature. Sometimes they give different names to that nature. Some call it the source, the beginning of all things. Some call it the oneness nature, the true nature. Some call it the unconditioned nibbana and other things. Or the Buddha nature. So there are various names being coined or used to express that. And different religions use different words to describe it. Even Lao Tzu, under the Tao teaching, Taoism, he called that the Great Tao. That's why the Great Tao is the oneness. Then within the oneness, he draw that Tao symbol, which is the yin and the yang. So within every yin state, there is a dot, which is the yang. Then within every yang state, there is a yin. There's a dot. This one is a reality that nature has created. That's why you look at our world. You look at all the profession that we have. You can be an engineer, you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be a politician or whatever. And you can talk about professionalism and all those things. But within the community, no matter how noble, there is still a small group of what they call black sheep within the profession. But certain profession is very funny. You not only have a small number. In fact, most of them are crook. So it's the other way around. The professional, the ethical one is the dot. Then the rest is that one. So you go and find out which profession. So all this, you can see them manifesting in nature, in existence. So when we have a clear mind to observe, to understand, then we see all this teaching has its own beauty, its own meaning, and it shows clearly what this teaching is or what their teachings are, because they are also equally profound and beautiful, especially the Tao. Of course, they need to use words to describe, to express themselves. So if you don't have the understanding, you may not follow and you may misunderstand. Even Jai Krishnamurti, his teaching is so beautiful, so wonderful. But very few people can comprehend what he shares and what he teaches. So these are all the understanding that you need to develop and evolve so that you can blend in, become a part of the entire existence. Okay, I'll read on. So now you can understand why the sutra says in this state means that wondrous state, that true oneness state. Our mind are free of any affliction or defilements. Our vows are vast and our mind are spacious. We must first cultivate an open mind. This one is very important. That's why don't be rigid. Don't hold on to your rigid confined views and opinion of things, and resolutely make and carry out great vows. This is very important. Then we can enjoy the wondrous existence within emptiness. Means you can realize that true nature, then use it to cultivate, to realize the penetrative wisdom, which is the outcome of realizing emptiness. However, we need wisdom to realize the state of wondrous existence. This is very true. In life, if attachment exists in our mind, greed will arise. If we can empty our mind and free ourselves from attachment, we can naturally attain a perfectly pure mind or pure state and experience happiness, delight and Dhamma joy. So this statement is easier said than done, isn't it? You can empty your mind of attachment. How you do it? Without wisdom, you cannot do it. There is no way. So easier said than done in the sense like you use your Dhamma knowledge, you use your thought process. Because you were told by the teaching, attachment is the cause of suffering. Craving is the cause of suffering. So you think you are very intelligent, very smart, very clever. So your answer is what? Very easy. Empty the mind of all attachment. You think you can just do it by saying, I don't want to hold on to things, I don't want to be affected, I don't want to attach to anything. You can't, because it is not you, because you haven't realized that nature. You are still with the mundane mind, the egoic mind, the sakayadity is still there. And you look at the phenomenal world of consciousness and form, everything you see, everything you come to perceive is so real to you. And when you can own them and have them, you definitely going to think the opposite. They are so useful, so beautiful, like money and your wealth. You think with that you can have everything. You can enjoy life, live life, all this thing. But that is an illusion, a delusion. So if you think that way, then of course, you get yourself entangled. On one hand, you say, I want to empty my mind of all attachment. But on the other side, when the Monday might come up, oh, all this is so important, so beautiful, you slog for it, fight for it, work so hard for it. Sometimes you clamor for it. People go to war for it. People create that type of cunningness of what they call a very cunning, deceiving thought or mind to achieve all this by various unscrupulous means, through deceit, through cheat. They try to own this and have this. That's why the evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion, envy, jealousy, hatred, violence, everything come. And this is how the conditioned mind become negative, evil. All these are the wrong thought, the evil mind state, born of the three evil roots. Then how can you reconcile with what you have said? Oh, I don't want to have suffering. I want to empty my mind of all attachment. Can you do it? You are like lying to yourself, deceiving yourself. On the one hand, you want all this. Then when it comes to suffering, you say, I don't want to attach. Does it hold water? Do you think there is any meaning to what you believe in? That is just your thought telling you. Because you have not realized the truth. You have not awakened. You have not seen what this thing is. That's why it can still lure you. It can still deceive you, entice you, and create delusion in you. But for those who have awakened, they understand this clearly, then they can live that type of beautiful life. You can have all those things, no problem, the Buddha said. The only thing is, know the nature's law behind for their arising. When you know them, you cultivate accordingly, develop the appropriate causes and conditions, then it will come to you. The only wisdom you must have is, these are not what you think. When they arise because of causes and conditions, and they are not permanent. They will cease to be. Even your form and mind will cease to be. So your understanding is very important. When you understand, you shouldn't attach and cling and hold on to it so tightly, because they never belong to you. Ultimately, it's dependent originating condition arising. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. It disappears. Even the form and mind or entity disappear. And that is not you. That nature is karmically conditional. Yes, has a lot of bearing with your karmic nature. Related, connected, but it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not you. That understanding must be there. Otherwise, you cannot live life. You will suffer. So the Heart Sutra's verse of true emptiness is wonderful existence. You cannot have that understanding to live that life. In Mandarin, it's called 真空妙有. When you have realized true emptiness, which is 真空, then existence becomes wonderful, wondrous existence. And that can only be realized by an enlightened being. So these are all very important understanding. So I will read on so that you understand better. Thus, we reach a state of precept, samadhi, and panya, and liberated understanding and view. So all this can only happen when you awaken. Then you understand all this clearly so that you no need to empty yourself of all attachment or craving or holding on to things. What you need is the wisdom to see clearly that you can never own anything. All these are not what you think. Then the understanding will free you, liberate your mind. So there is no more like attachment. Why do attachment arise? Because of ignorance, delusion. You lack wisdom. That's why attachment arise. So when you understand, you will not hold, you will not touch. Like the analogy of the red hot iron ball, burning hot, molten. If you know it's burning hot and molten, will you attach to it? Will you hold on to it? Will you grab onto it? You won't need it. That's why there is no more question of letting go, giving up, empty your mind of all attachment. There is no need. Once you have the understanding, the realization, you will not even touch it. Then you can't even touch it. Is there a need to let go? Is there a need to relinquish attachment? No. Attachment arrives because you lack wisdom. That's why you hold, you grow, you get yourself into trouble. It torments you. It harms you, hurts you. You get yourself tormented and afflicted. But the natural understanding is, if I don't hold on to that red hot molten thing, naturally it doesn't burn me and torment me. You. That's how you free, liberate your mind. But the problem with human beings is they don't see their suffering, their mental suffering, and all of their affliction when they go through life, because it doesn't really burn you and torment you like the hot, red hot molten thing. It arises in the form of a situation or a condition where it's camouflaged. Then you are very stressed, full of fear, worry, anxiety. But because it doesn't really burn you in that sense, it torments you, afflicts you mentally, which is initially tolerable, not that dramatic. So because of that, human being has this delusion. They say, how can I not think? How can I not hold on to this thing? Because it is my problem. I have to solve it. I have to resolve it so that I can move on, so that I can free. Yes, true. It is your problem because you don't understand. You perceive it negativity. That's why you call it your problem. But you can solve that problem without holding on to it and getting yourself tormented. You can accept the reality for what it is. It's conditioned like that, things will like that. Then everything falls into place. Then you calm down. But when you don't hold, you don't cling, you don't give meaning, you just accept that as a reality, what happened? You're no longer subject to that thing tormenting you. You have clarity. You have this ability to silence your mind. Then you inquire, what happened? How can I resolve this amicably? Then how can I move? That is the solution. That is the Dhamma. Not to hold and become miserable, then keep on complaining without understanding. That holding on is attachment, clinging, delusion. You don't have to hold on to that thing, which is the so-called problem. Why can't you accept that reality? Then objectively, with the silent mind and the understanding, inquire. How can I resolve this amicably so that I can move on, so that nobody gets hurt, so that everybody is happy, like they call win-win situation. So ability to resolve things amicably without harming anybody is the Dhamma way, the wisdom way, the Noble Eightfold Path, embodiment and cultivation. So these are important understanding, okay? So I repeat all this sharing is because not everybody understand and it take a while. You need to listen to all this, reflect, contemplate, inquire, and write it down and ask yourself, yeah, it's so straightforward, so clear-cut, so true. Why can't I do it? How come in the past I never see all this, never understood all this? I keep on holding on to things, develop fear, project my thought, and get myself entangled, afflicted, and become miserable over nothing because I lack that understanding, that teaching, that Dhamma. So this is what you need to understand. Then one more paragraph. I will finish it off. Then after that, we can have our toilet break. Yeah? To thoroughly comprehend the methods of liberating the Maya, this is very important. We must unite our cultivation of precept, samadhi, and wisdom, or panya. This is the Noble Eightfold Path. This is the teaching. If we can achieve this, then we will be free from all troubles in our mind. It's free from affliction. Your mind can be liberated and not become attached to anything around us. Means that wisdom liberate your mind and you will never hold or attach to all this true delusion anymore. Means the phenomenal world of consciousness and form has got no power over you. It cannot delude you anymore. It cannot deceive you anymore. We will feel peace and free and attain awakened understanding and view. So this one is, like I used to say, easier said than done. Because, like it's mentioned in the last paragraph, to thoroughly comprehend the way, I don't want to use the word method, of liberating the mind, we must unite. That word is very important. Our cultivation of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Means Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, the Noble Eightfold Path, is one cultivation, not separate. So you have to unite your cultivation of this Noble Eightfold Path, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. So hopefully, with all this understanding, yeah, you can develop the stability of wisdom to put into practice all this very important understanding, then transform yourself character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, until you hold the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. Then this form and mind with that type of understanding and wisdom can really understand life and become so beautiful. The easily angered develop a heart of patience. The indolent develop a heart of diligence. The mentally scattered develop a heart of samadhi. The ignorant develop a heart of wisdom. So this adapted verse is very straightforward. So this one is just to advise people who have delusion, who have evil defilements, evil mental states. So you can easily become angry, angered, or disturbed. You must cultivate the opposite wholesomeness, which is patience. When you are very patient, you do not react immediately. You do not create unnecessary anger, hatred, and unhappiness. Because these are evil roots, make you evil. If you understand that, you will never arise. It not only make you evil, it stress you out. When you are angry, there is a lot of stress. When you have a lot of hatred, violence, vengeance, your heart there, a lot of stress. And the energy is very negative, very detrimental to your mental health, the physical well-being. And it can cause your cells within to mutate and develop mutation, or what they call nowadays cancerous. The next one is indolent. Indolent means laziness. You have this weakness of being lazy, indolent. Then you have to develop a heart of diligence. Means you must be very diligent in your approach to things, to life, to situation. Means have that spiritual zeal to actually develop the cultivation, to do the things, your duty and all those things. So these are all the opposite wholesome mind states for you to overcome the various type of negative defilements. So anger, you need patience. Intolerant, laziness, you need diligence. And finally, The third one, sorry. Yeah, there is a fourth one. The third one is, you said, mentally scattered. Your mind is not in the state of samadhi, not collected and unwavering. Mentally scattered means you think a lot. You create a lot of sankhara activity, heedless thinking. So this type of people, you must develop a heart of samadhi, the mind that is collected and unwavering. So this one is not easy to do. Then of course, those who are ignorant, deluded, have to develop a heart of wisdom, understanding. Otherwise, you cannot free. You will continue to act deludedly. So because of ignorance, you create the whole mess of suffering. You fall into that trap of dependent origination. Paticca Samuppada. Okay, we will read on a little bit more, then maybe we end this. Cultivating a forest of merits and virtue is not easy, as the saying goes. A single spark can burn down the entire forest. Similarly, it is often said, the fire of ignorance burns down the forest of merits and virtue. This is very true. At the beginning, there may have been just a spark of anger triggered by our habitual tendency, but it gradually grows bigger and bigger and prevents us from carrying out our vows of forming good karmic affinity with others and benefiting the world. On the other hand, if we plant positive karmic causes and create positive karmic condition in our daily living, we will reap positive karmic consequence or result. This is the cycle of cause and effect, moral causation. So to be able to form good karmic affinity with others, we must learn to consistently cultivate our mind and refine our character, so that we can develop the patience we need to counter our habitual tendency of anger. So this is very well written. Huh? There is a story that illustrates this. In ancient China, because of the lack of local money-making opportunity, many people from impoverished community travel far away from home to make a living. It is often the case that due to the distance, these people could only return home once a year at the end of the lunar year. One such man who had found work far from home thought, "It is almost New Year. I can finally go home and see my wife." However, after deducting his living expenses from the money he had earned, there was not much left. At the thought of how little money he would be bringing back to his wife, he felt bad and wondered whether he should bring her a gift. As he walked along the road, lost in thought, he passed by a market and saw someone selling New Year couplets. There were many positive messages. Oh yeah, this the New Year greeting sign. Huh? When he walked closer to take a look, the calligrapher asked, "Do you want to buy a couplet?" He replied, "I want to get a gift for my wife, but I don't know if she will understand what you write." "How long have you been away from home?" "An entire year." "In that case, let me write some words for you. How much will this cost?" 500,000. Wow, 500,000. That's a lot of money. The man calculated that this word would cost a third of his earning he was bringing home. Would he still have enough money left over to bring home to his wife? As he hesitated thinking this over, the calligrapher first said to him, "With this 500,000, you are buying helpful words that may benefit you for the rest of your life." So the man purchased some calligraphy, which read, "When anger arises, take 3 steps backward and think, So this one is a very good. I think it's a very famous writing. I think I have it on my wall at the back. Exterminating the fire or anger will bring good fortune. The man felt that these words make sense, but he did not quite understand the meaning behind them. The calligrapher told him, "When you are about to lose your temper, silently recite this word, and they will benefit you greatly." After purchasing the calligraphy, the man hurried on his way. It was late at night. By the time he got home, the door was locked and the lamp extinguished. Not wanting to wake his sleeping wife, he entered through the back door. After settling down his back and lighting the oil lamp, he saw in the dim light a pair of man's shoes beside the bed. He was immediately filled with rage, thinking, "While I've been out working hard, you have not remained faithful." He angrily grabbed a knife from the kitchen and approached the bed. Suddenly, he recalled the words, "Where anger arises, take 3 steps back and think." Exterminating the anger or the fire of anger will bring good fortune. With this word in mind, he stepped back and took 3 steps backward. His wife woke up upon hearing the noise. When she saw him standing by the bed, lost in thought, he said, "What's the matter? Why is there a pair of men's shoes beside the bed?" He asked angrily. "He said you would be back in time for New Year's Eve. But when you didn't arrive, as you said, I cleaned your shoe and put them there as if you were here to celebrate with us." Hearing her words, the man was both repentant and grateful. Although those 2 sentences that he had brought had cost him quite a bit of money, by preventing him from acting on his anger, their value was far greater than the money he had spent. So this story is quite cute. Practicing patience or cultivating patience is indeed very difficult. It's not a simple matter at all. The Chinese character of patience is composed of the word for a knife on top of the heart, of the character for heart. It's like people stab you on the heart. To safely pull this knife out requires much skill. For example, if a knife were to be launched in our body, it would be necessary for us to seek immediate medical attention. The doctor will use the right means to stop the bleeding or operate on us to save our life. If he pulled the knife out recklessly, the wound would bleed even more profusely, and we may even die. Anger is like a knife. How can we pull out this knife without harming ourselves? This requires a skill acquired from spiritual cultivation. When we encounter an unhappy or unpleasant attitude, or hear unpleasant word, instead of getting angry at other people, we should become more mindful of ourselves. This is how we cultivate our mind. So this one is actually the author's way of cultivation, but the Buddha taught us differently. He taught us 5 ways to overcome unhappy thought or wrong thought. So when you have anger, and you have selfishness, delusion, or even ignorance, there are 5 ways to overcome them. These are taught in the meditative training. I just finished off this, then I'll mark this page. We will stop here. First way, the Buddha say, is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, like what the adapter verse title is. Then you can have overcome it. When you have the opposite wholesome thought, the wrong thought will not arise. Take for example, when you have anger, think of loving kindness, think of love, compassion. When you have love and compassion, you cannot get angry. It's either or. Then the second way is think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought, which is your anger, which is the evil root that will make you evil and cause your coming downfall. So this contemplation and reflection will awaken you, your life. Do you want to be that way? Do you want your coming nature to fall? If you don't want, you make sure you don't get angry. You make sure you determine to abandon it. So thinking of the consequence also helps. Then the third way and the fourth way is the meditative way. And that one is not like what the author mentioned. The third way is meditative way. The Buddha said, whatever happens, whether it's anger or fear or unhappiness or resentment or anxiety, you just silence your mind. Be with it. Stay with it. Don't do anything. Don't think. Don't do anything. That's fine. You don't give it any more deluded thought energy or thinking energy. You are aware of it. You realize this awareness nature is such a beautiful and powerful purifying force. When you are aware, the thought cease. Then the underlying wrong thought delusion, that trigger of that anger, that fear, cease to be. That's why when you silence your mind and stay with the emotion or the anger, that fear, then after a short while, you realize it subsides, it ceases. Then you become peaceful again. Your true mind returns. Then you realize this is the way to free. You don't have to do anything like meditation. That's why don't think, don't try to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness and silence and be with it. Then you will realize that this anger is not you. Anger is dependent originating, condition arising. You stir your mind because you are not happy with what you see, what you perceive. You perceive things with negativity. Then when you stir, you get angry. You get emotional. Sometimes you get fearful, anxiety, worry. All this will arise, but these are deluded mind state, conditioned by your wrong understanding and wrong view. And this is not intrinsic. It's not within you. Before you get angry, any of this mind state, there was none. You were peaceful, cheerful, happy. Then why all this mind state arise? Because you lack Dhamma understanding, you lack wisdom, you get yourself entangled. You don't know how to meditate. That's why you're silent and you realize that peace. Then you realize your true mind is already that state. You don't have to do anything. You just have to silence. Then you understand that anger is dependent originating, was never you. That's how you free your mind. Then you retrospectively, the fourth way, identify the cause. Means through your mindfulness, you become aware of how you get angry, how you stir your mind. When you see somebody you don't like, when you hear something you don't like, or when you recall some unhappy events of phobia, fear. These are the cause, trigger off, through what? Through wrong view. So the cause is through your senses. You see, you perceive, then you react and stir with the wrong view. That is the cause. So when you know there is a cause, you should retrospectively reverse all this to an understanding. How can I not react and stir my mind? You should learn from the Buddha. Learn to see things as they are. Learn to accept the reality of the moment. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Angry people do angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. So they are just the way they are. So be at peace. Do not react and stir. That is the reality. Accept. Then you are at peace. And when you are at peace, you realize you are free. Anger subside. So no need to practice patience. What is practicing patience? It's the thought trying to be patient. It's suppression. That's why the author used the word, you must cultivate a heart of patience. When you have wisdom, it's patient endurance with understanding. Without wisdom, you cannot. It's suppression. You try to like suppress that emotion. You say, hey, I cannot get angry. Anger is the evil. So you suppress the anger. Don't want to get angry. But your problem is not resolved. That thing is still active inside there. Very strong. Haven't rooted out. So what you need is understanding the meditative third way and the fourth way. And that is the best way. That is what the Dhamma is. How wonderful it can be to actually help you develop wisdom and understanding to transform your mind. Okay, so with this, we'll open up for meditation reporting.
Good evening, Kayanamitas and Sakihotu. Recently, I encountered a situation I find also a bit hard to handle, a bit tricky to handle. So, the application of Dhamma really not so straightforward. When things happen around us, I think recently I noticed I can handle when things happen to me. I can manage my own emotions and my thoughts to think of automatically positive thoughts come out instead of negative thoughts. But now I notice the tests that come are the people close to me. Things happen to them, then I notice I'm at a, sometimes I get pulled along by their problems. And then when I notice is when I try to help, it's not really very helpful, you know, whatever I say or do. So then I started to just keep quiet and observe. Then I realized actually not trying to do anything actually gave me a better perspective of what's going on. And then the problem doesn't need to be solved by me or immediately. Sometimes the person that's talking to me eventually just need a listening ear. After that, they figure out the problems themselves and then they figure out what they need to do by organizing their thoughts as they speak to someone. Then I start to see that they find their way, they find an amicable solution, even though all I did was just listen. Maybe the presence of somewhere safe to think is all they need. Sometimes I start to see that perspective. When I speak to people who looks like they need help, but actually they have to walk out of their karma themselves in the end. Right? That's the kind of experience I've recently had. Applying the Dhamma, the five ways. Actually, what's really helpful is the fourth way. When my dad mentioned, every time he brings up these five ways, the application is not very straightforward. Like, I think it's different for everyone. The retrospective trace the source of the unwholesome or the negative thought, because a feeling before it appears. When I trace a feeling, it could be the first thing we trace back is from the senses, because that person threw rubbish on the floor, that's why I am angry. It could be something like that. But when I really look at what happened is, I saw that, but why my reaction is like that? Then when I trace further, there's a lot of things happening. Person throw rubbish on the floor, then I start to think everybody throw rubbish on the floor like him. That one is my own thought projecting already. And then I go and proliferate, then the country become very dirty. Then you know this ah. Then look at it. My creativity is very limited. Actually, what he could be doing could be out of so many different reasons. I'm just making up the most negative view I can have of the situation. And the best way to help him is also, I mean, if I saw him or her, a person that did that, it's not to comment also. To force a person to change will not help. Then by throwing that rubbish might give the next person, if it was an aluminium can, maybe it was the karma to allow the next person to pick it up and hey, that person looking for the can to recycle. I mean, anything can happen. So what is seemingly perceived as bad can actually be perceived good every single situation, regardless how negative we thought it had to be perceived. There's always a positive angle. That is the kind of mindset I have now. That's why when I try to trace the source of the negativity, I know this is always something that I can perceive differently, and then next time I see it, it won't go down that direction anymore. Yeah. I hope this sharing helps.
Okay. Okay. So thank you so much for what my daughter has shared. So maybe I will add in a bit to make it clearer and more complete. Her first sharing was because recently she went through very good condition for her to understand how if she decide to come out and help people. Yeah, this work is not easy. So early on she tried, but this time it involved a third person, another party. And these few people happen to be close to her. One of them is her classmates. And all those things. Then when you encounter such a situation, like she said, for her case, she can handle because she has the Dhamma and the way to resolve it. It become very easy for her. She has this ability not to perceive if negativity, then through an understanding, he created that type of possibility of wholesomeness. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise. Something else may happen. So that is basically the way of the thought. It's still within the field of thought. But positive, right thought means positive contemplative understanding. So that contemplative understanding can actually help to resolve problem a bit, but it's not a generalized understanding, because what we want is a generalized understanding. Like the Buddha said, we have to learn to see things as they are. Means what? We are not reasoning right or wrong. We are not trying to project the thought, "Ayo, how can this guy be like that? So uncivic minded. So lack of what they call consideration." Simply throw things. Then if they think in a creative manner, they say, "Hey, the authority can fine you." Then if everybody behave like you, this country become how? But the reality is, he is the way he is. That's what he told. If you cannot accept that reality, then you have to use your contemplative understanding, which to me is case-to-case basis, like what she went through. He said maybe he throw the tin can or somebody that is useful, somebody will recycle it. It's not too bad. That's why there is no negativity. But what we are here to learn is Dhamma. Why do we stir the mind initially? That's why the question is, like Buddha said, no amount of analysis or thinking can actually solve your problem. Well, all these are our personal views and opinion of things. that this is what you should do. But at least she justified her own condition by not becoming angry. So that is the positive aspect of reflection and contemplation. But that is not the full solution, because every situation is different. Maybe this one throw tin can or throw rubbish. What if somebody brings their dog around and shit in front of your garden or your house? you can contemplate, like my daughter say, he's giving fertilizer, free fertilizer to my garden. I mean, you can perceive it that way. You can use all this. But the problem is, if you still react because you don't like that smell, is how much understanding you have. You can really come to terms with all this reality means you must have wisdom. Means you not only justify that, oh, it's a fertilizer. Then whoever abuse you, you think positive. Is that the way you resolve things? No. What the Buddha wants you to understand is, whatever that person do, we have to accept that is the reality. Causes and conditions, that things will like that, he is the way he is. But it doesn't mean you agree what he do. Understand? Means the Dhamma is, after that, you act. You act without stirring your mind. It's just like the red hot iron ball or molten thing. You don't go and touch it and become miserable over it. You don't go and attach to that thought. How can this guy do that? Then like my son, they have guilty conscience, they have this under that. They always bring the plastic to collect the poo and all this thing. So there is their conscience to do it so that people won't like get angry with them or what, because we should understand this is our responsibility as a citizen or as a fellow community, neighborhood, good neighbors and all that. So there are things that are appropriate and inappropriate, of course, according to conventional reality and rules. But it doesn't mean that we just take everything that is thrown at us. No. So what is important is accept them for what they are, be at peace. Then we see how to resolve this. Like what my wife did is very good. He go and put a sign there. Then when that guy read the sign, he felt very, very like paisa. Then he did not bring the dog near anymore. The way she wrote is very nice. like not getting angry, not scolding people and all those things, but in a very nice way. I forgot the words today, but it's very nice. Then no more problem, resolve. Because it means the message is sent, the owner actually does feel that this is not proper to her. So as such, I think something like, no dog shit. Yeah? Please go somewhere else. Something like that, I forgot already. So this is also a skillful way to resolve, but you are at peace first. You don't get angry. Then you think of skillful means to resolve it. Then whether that person still continue to do or not is another matter. Nothing to do with right or wrong. But the reality is, if you continue also, you have to think of other way. The other way is maybe to make it more difficult for that person is, you don't have to do anything. You take out the camera and try to take a shot. He will feel very embarrassed. His face is there and all those things. So he also fear that it may be viral, one of this day or whatever it is. So there are other skillful means, but that is the action part. Before the action part, you must be at peace first. You don't go and allow this contemplative thing to make you peaceful. Then after that, you just accept everything. That way is a rational thinking. still thought based, not wisdom way. Wisdom way is develop the understanding first. How did we stir and react and become unhappy? Then why must we try to like positively think to get this overcome? So that is her skillful means and skillful ways which she can do it because it benefited her. But it's not a total solution. The total solution is see things as they are, accept the reality, be at peace. But doesn't mean you accept what people do, what the world is, and all. Then you act. The individual must change. Means you already change. You don't get angry. You don't contribute negativity to the consciousness and all that. Then you can radiate love and metta. May he not do this the next time when he comes. It has its effect. The way you develop it is entirely depend on the person who cultivate all this. Then there are other skillful ways which after that you act, you can reflect, contemplate, and with the skillful way you act. Or when there is condition to talk to people, you can maybe suggest something or through the discussion make them understand. So all these are possibility of action. What is important is you act with noble evil power. Not to reprimand, not to scold, not to create negativity and misunderstanding and conflict. So that is the first part. Then the second part is actually more difficult to deal with. The second part is you want to help somebody. Somebody quite close, classmate and all those things. And nowadays, there are a lot of problems that human beings face. Sometimes it can be a relationship problem. Like early on, she got a very good friend with children and other things. That relationship problem. Then some career problem, some marriage problem or whatever problem. So she realized on her own, she got no problem. Yes, she has the Dhamma, she do it her way, she can get it resolved. And she can actually come out with understanding to advise people. But the problem is, all these people don't have the Dhamma, your advice cannot work. Like if I tell them my advice, I tell you, everybody will go away. Because this is spiritual understanding. See things as they are, accept them for what they are. I tell you, you can get yourself into trouble. But because I am different, you know, my nature, I know how to approach all this and I know how to actually explain to them through a very nice way. And they feel safe and have confidence in me when I speak. What I do is I allow them to speak first, like she realized. You must listen first because you don't know what is going on. And most of these complaints, before they come, they go to somebody else. Yeah. So in the early years, most of them go to Sui An. Yeah. Then sometimes Sui An talk to them, then they agree to approach me, then Sui An thanks me, and I say, okay, ask them to come. So when they come, the first thing I tell them is, okay, I heard certain thing about your problem and all those things, but that is what Sui An told me. I want to hear from you. Can you just put in a very simple way exactly what happened and what is your concern and fear and how you want to seek solution or help to resolve this? And then I listen. I let them finish. Then sometimes I ask questions more because they may not know what is going on. Then after that, after I let them, then I heard the whole thing, then roughly I know what the coming is behind this thing. Then I will tell them, okay, based on this, I need you to understand a few things. First, I will ask, are you a Buddhist? Can you accept the law of karma and all those things? You cannot, never mind. If you're a Christian, no problem. I will approach it from their Christian point of view. Then I will resolve it through understanding. They say, do you know why you have this issue, also called problem? But I cannot bring in the Dhamma, the rigid way, because you attach la, because you cling la, because you hold la. This one wouldn't work. In fact, there was a case where the lady, the husband, actually has maybe a younger and more pretty secretary or girlfriend. Then she felt so like cheated. That breach, betray, the word is betray, the breach of trust. She was so angry and full of hatred and all things, until suicidal thought, everything, and the children quite big already. Then when she came over, I say, I want to know. Straight away, it's like a tape recorder inside there, and I know she is in depression already. Like a tape recorder inside there, keep on repeating those words. This bastard, last time is honey, you know, so the other guru. Now this bastard, I trusted him for so many years and gave birth to two beautiful children, and he did that to me. So I know the explanation. I said, okay, I think I heard you. I think I understand your situation. Then I started by going the indirect way. I say, you are here because you want to seek an answer and a solution to your problem, isn't it? You say, yeah. I say, in that case, I have to ask you a few questions, as I asked. Then she is not a Buddhist, neither is a Christian. I think it's a free thinker. Then you know, I try to explain. I say, there are certain things that we Buddhists believe as law of karma. Do good because good and do evil because evil. He said, I don't really care or believe or don't believe all these things, but to me this is all nonsense. Nothing to do with me. My problem is this guy did that to me. So that approach doesn't work already because he's a non-Buddhist. Then I had to approach it differently. I said, okay, if that is the case, at the moment, based on what you are doing, are you happy? Are you peaceful? How can I be happy? Definitely I'm not happy. This guy, I said, this is your anger, this is your hatred. That thought has been with you, you cannot sleep. Then she looked at me. How can I sleep with this problem? They say, my children are all there. I say, you have a lot of fear. You have a lot of insecurity. You're scared of losing him. And yet, you want to get angry. Because this is fighting, conflict inside you. You are suffering. You are having misery, insomnia, and all those things. So I say, for your sake, for your children's sake, why can't you resolve this amicably? You go on like that, I cannot help you. Because what you have gone through is all this cocoon of thought that make you very miserable, and now you are in depression and having all these problems. These are not helping you. So do you want to answer a solution? But what I am going to teach you is not easy. You need to have that determination and all things. So I try to ask her to develop the understanding of what karma is. But I say, I use a scientific way. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So I say, very likely in the past, you must have done all this and all this. Then, this line you come. Whether you believe or don't believe, this is nature's law, nothing to do with belief or not belief. Then you have the similar condition. People do it back to you. Fair enough. Then you know what's the reaction. Got such thing on me? I say, you have the right not to believe, whether God or don't have, because it's just giving you an example. If there is such a nature's law, that in the past you have done this, now got condition, people do it back to you. Fair enough. Then after she listened, she said, okay, if that is the case, what else you want me to do? So I want to teach her the three way. Ask for forgiveness. The moment I mentioned that, he scolded me. He said, what are you trying to ask me to do? Ask me to ask for forgiveness from that bastard, he used the word. I said, no. There's a more general type of description. Whomsoever from the distant past, whether or not. Oh, then only she turned down. Because when he said, ask for forgiveness from that guy, he can never do it. That's why after that, it took a while to slowly. Because of the way I approached it, I was very calm, very patient, and I let her talk. I said, it's okay. I said, you must remember. Because later on, when I think she's not listening already, I will just put back the problem to her. I said, please remember, you came to Brother Sui An. Yeah? You want to seek help, solution, or those things? I say, you have a problem, not I, and I said, no. So please understand that what I'm sharing with you is an understanding. Whether you believe, want to use it or what, is up to you. Because it is you who have the problem, the entanglement, the situation. Then only she starts to, like, approach this thing in a different manner. Well, initially keep on defending. She still believes she is right. She cannot do all this. She wants to actually fight back and torture that husband. She said, he did that to me. I am not going to let him go. I won't forget what he has done to me. But he wants to take revenge and all this. That mind has gone that direction. I say, if you continue with all this thinking, mark my word, you will become worse and worse. You will become more and more miserable. This is not a solution. The solution is, out of love and compassion for your children and your family, you should resolve this amicably. Then only the turnaround came. Then I gave her example of how I help other people and how they turn around. And how we resolve all this amicably. Or that solution, she's willing to listen. She's willing to follow the advice and all those things. So there are many ways and approach to a solution. But people are different. Before they have the Dhamma, before they have the understanding, they are just the way they are. They behave the way they are. So if you try to help, it's not easy. That's why without the full understanding and the exposure, you cannot help people. Technically, you are not ready. But it's good training. Yeah, initially, you see all this. You learn from real life example. You have to experience them. That's why when I reflected, contemplated, yeah, I realized I have this ability because I have developed the cultivation for long. Very, very long, maybe aeons and aeons of period of cultivation. That's why this understanding is there, that it can help resolve things. In fact, one of her friends that came because of some relationship problem or so, actually it was not easy, but they came down middle of the night and talked to me. Then I managed to calm her down and let her understand. And she really took all the notes and wrote that message, email back to the husband. Then the thing got resolved. Otherwise, it was very severe, entangled. Very complicated case, but resolved. And she became happy, full of gratitude and all that. So that one was another very challenging case which my daughter witnessed, that it can be done. We are actually her very good friend. So all this is Dhamma, is understanding. If you have the understanding, you can resolve it. You accept the reality, then resolve it amicably, then you act. Oh. Then everything get resolved in an amicable way. Win-win situation, no more problem. Then everybody can accept that thing and move on. But there are some who doesn't have the condition, doesn't want to listen, no point. When you encounter those, you must know the situation and just stop and let them continue with their life, accord and flow. Because the final way to tell them in a very nice manner is, I think it's okay. You must have gone through a tough situation, becoming what you are. But always remember your life, you decide. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. So I wish you luck. Learn to choose to live happily, to have a good life. If you need advice, you are willing to listen, then you can come again. Otherwise, it's okay. You can continue with what you believe is the solution that you will find. Because they already fixed in their view, in their approach. No amount of what you say is going to change them. Because when a person is deluded and with anger and emotion, they cannot listen. They are not ready to listen. So don't force. Don't try to be like, I want to help. She don't want to let me help. That is disastrous. That is going to create more problems. That is not helping. When there is no condition, just let things be. Don't try to be a hero. Then I always say, unless they want to come, don't bring them. You know why I qualify that or not? Because end of the day, that is my last resort of defend and say, did you receive this message? If you want to come, then only you come. You want to come because you want to seek an understanding as to how you can solve this problem. So if you can have that understanding, then I can help you. Then the simple understanding is you must listen. After you listen, you must decide to change. If you don't listen, develop the understanding and change, your life is already cast in stone. Based on your anger, emotion, and what you go through, you are suffering, full of affliction, misery. You are already in depression. Then they suddenly like wake up. Well, it's no more about me. No more about trying to be right. Well, otherwise, they think you try to change them, try to influence them, and they resist. No, I'm not going to do this. This is not the way I want to do it. I mean, they're alive. Let them live. Let them have that freedom, that choice. What you want is to show them clearly that their purpose in life is one. The reason why they come is because they want an answer to develop the solution so that they can resolve this amicably and come out of it and move on with their life. So most of them who after they listen, they actually change. Then they are willing to listen. Then some come for a few sessions and become different. Then they started to commit themselves to try and do all this. And those who have faith, they always succeed and resolve their problem and their issue. That's why over the last maybe 16 years or coming to 17, I've helped many people with a lot of very chronic problems also resolved. So no problem at all. So it seems nowadays I haven't have a case where I cannot resolve it. So all this is, I think, a very important understanding for people who go through the cultivation and start encountering. Well, my daughter is still quite new to all this, and this is very good for her because as she go through that process, she can develop the understanding and the learning. And this is very good example today. Luckily, Manjana, thank you so much for nominating Sui. And Sui, through this, she can develop better understanding. And like I said, it's up to her. Because her way is different. I know her way is different. She IT approach and she think different, which is very good. To me, I like this type of, I won't call it challenges or what, this type of different personality and viewpoint and understanding, so that I can learn too. People of this type of character, they learn things differently. They don't just accept what you say, lock, stock, and barrel. No. Even she learned investment, she's very good. When we do research, even my son now, we know, we discuss. Then when I give them my point, they will check. They will not do it. They also know when sometimes I'm too positive about that counter, certain thing I don't see, I still can have a situation where that thing doesn't turn out to be what the contemplative understanding is, because certain things happen which seldom. But most of the time when I analyze something, 8 out of 10, I will get it right. But there are one or two occasions where things may like slightly go off, but later on it will fall into place. So all these are very useful, beneficial understanding. Then we share understanding, we discuss, then we express our viewpoint, then we learn from each other. It's not about right and wrong. It's about sharing. Then we learn, we understand. Then we come to our own understanding. Then we are exposed to more idea and more understanding. So all these are very beautiful. Okay, I think we have to end. We are 10:31 already. I heard the alarm. My wife, she is a timekeeper. Her handphone very accurate on 10:30 means 10:30. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So rejoice with Manjana's nomination, my daughter's sharing, the condition that arises for me to add in whatever that needs to be understood, so that Kayamita can learn. And with all this, we rejoice. Yes.
You got like counseling, is it, with friends?
How to counsel people, help people.
Because you know, I have a friend which I have, you know, who I'm spoken before, say that he have depressions. So you know, especially at this kind of time period, is it? He even came across like, you know, suicidal thought.
Yes, very common. People who are depressed has a lot of this suicidal thought.
Correct. So you know, before the MCO, he already got this kind of depressions, negative view, you see, in life and things that happened to him, you see. So it's all planted deep inside. And all these MCO things are sort of like trigger him, you see. And what I'm trying to say is like, you know, knowing his issue, I'll make an effort to sort of like, you know, on and off, like make it a point of like call him once a week, you see.
To
follow up and also to give him some support, you know.
Yeah,
that's right. Because there's little thing that you know, I can do.
And
because he just keep on repeat.
Yeah, and that's a good enough thought. Yeah, that is what she is holding on to in the memory.
Yeah, and this is exactly like what our sister Soe says. Is it? It's up to her karma, their individual karma. Is it?
How they want to come out of it. Yeah,
that's right. What I can do is like I just lend him a ear and a shoulder. Is it? That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know. So at least he has somebody that he can talk to.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody that can understand him.
Correct. And let him release out whatever that is holding on inside. That one is much better than bottle up inside.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So and well, the thing is like he is also a Buddhist, is he? So he chant the Amitabha, all these things. So at least this is something, at least some common background for me to, you know, to encourage him to do more chanting, you know.
Yeah.
He also understand that, you know, this is a karmic thing, you see. It's just that when the situations occur, it's just carried by the thought, and he knows that.
Yeah.
So
but
that's
they
why
cannot do anything because they don't have the dhamma. They don't have that stability or understanding.
So that's why I say, I mean, especially at this period of time, doing counseling is like those professional counselors, you see,
are
very important. And then the mentality of the counselor, you have to be very, very strong, you see.
Yeah.
And
it's not easy because most of them don't have the skill, the dhamma understanding to help people come out. They have been trained with certain type of counseling knowledge or what we call theory.
Right.
Theoretical approach to all these things. Of course, it's still thought-based, very analytical in approach and all those things.
And many years ago, I came across an article, you see, a news article saying that one of the highest suicide rates are professionals, are counselors, you see.
Yeah, yes, you are right. Because very high percentage. Because they deal with this type of people, if you don't have the dhamma and the understanding, you will be influenced. Like my doctor said, initially drug into the problem by what they tell you, all the misery and all the frustration that they come across, which they encounter in life, sometimes in their career, in their relationship and all those things. And sometimes it's their dog, their pet. So these are very common. Everybody is affected in their various capacity. Sometimes it can be very traumatic because it is experiencing something out of the ordinary, very extraordinary. We heard of pandemic, people getting COVID-19, then how they went through, how difficult this thing is and all those things. I mean, these are real life happening incidents. Especially the frontliner, they witness all this, the doctors, not easy. You think it's easy for them? Not easy. That's why sometimes they have to plead to people. Then on top of that, sometimes now I came to know more because I have occasion to meet up with this veterinary type of situation where they send their pets to this vet doctor. Then I heard a lot of very touching story. Nowadays pets, they are so like homey, my wife used to say, because their owner are willing to take them to the vet and spend money to cure them and resolve their problem. But there are some due to old age, then they go through very funny occurrences. Like recently, my daughter heard about the dog, because of old age, going through seizure. So sometimes you have to confront all this reality of life and existence in real life example. Animal also, you can see this. Then in real human being, that's why it depends on what profession you are in, what career you are in. So I agree with you, Jinhao. It's not easy to counsel people and help people. Even now, the frontliner, the hospital, medical personnel, it's not easy during a pandemic. In fact, the hospital already had no problem before the pandemic. Now with the pandemic, it's even worse. Then with the MCO, EMCO, and the lockdown, and the new normal, it's not easy for human being to actually accept this change or this reality. A lot of people are affected. Not easy. So, very good, Jinhao. Salute to you trying your best to help your friend and able to be a good listener and let him find his way out. Because when it's beyond you and you can't handle, you just let things be. But be a good listener. Like what happened to Alicia when she was going through a depression. Luckily, Elsie, her classmate, she was a very good listener. That's why Alicia told me it was because of Elsie that she was able to continue for so long. Otherwise, 16-year-old depression with suicidal thought long have problem, right? They didn't help issue well, this thing. But because she got somebody to talk to, that one is very important. And put their trust onto. That's why later on when she recovered, she wanted to help back Elsie, and she brought Elsie to my class, and Elsie is very appreciative. This is what karma is all about. You reap what you sow. Whatever you do with your limited capacity, you are sincere, people know. And when the time comes, people respond, reciprocate, and that's how things become what it is. It turned out so beautiful for both of them. And this type of Dhamma is not easy to come by. Okay, very good. Anything else to add?
What I'm trying to say is like also, what they want actually, they just want somebody to understand them.
Good listener.
That's right. And then if you think that is beyond your capability, you just need to find somebody that have this kind of skill set.
Yeah,
like Brother Tio, you know, or Brother Sri Andy, or whoever able to help, you just need just you know, refer them. That's it.
Yes.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. Okay, good.